Proverbs, chapter number 14. Amen. Proverbs 14 and beginning at verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The black backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And then let's flip over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Proverbs, Solomon here has addressed different ways of a man. Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus addresses it. And in verse number 13, he said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And for just a little while here this morning, I want to preach about by the straight way, or to the straight way by the crooked path. Amen. To the straight way by the crooked path. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God, we need you this morning. Lord Jesus, we come against every obstacle. God, anxiety, God, everything, Lord Jesus, that would, God, divert your will from being accomplished, that would hinder your spirit from helping us today. I pray, God, that you would help us and that you would work with us today. God, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost move into this place. Let inspiration and enlightenment come, God. We thank you and we give you glory. And we praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have mentioned in times past that Proverbs, one of my favorite books to study, obviously a book that we would look at and classify as full of wisdom. And in reality, it is. It is unique and ironic of how that it, or by whom it was written, by King Solomon for most of it, noted to be one of the most wise men that was ever upon the face of the earth, and that he asked of God that he would give him wisdom and understanding that he might be able to lead his people. And within a few chapters after that, we see that there is a child that is brought unto Solomon, and two ladies are claiming this child to be theirs. One says, "It is mine," and this other woman, she rolled over on her child and killed her child, and now she is stating that the live child is hers. And Solomon said, "Well, just give me a sword." And he just said, "We'll just cut the child in half and give half to each lady, half to each mother, and that'll solve everything." And of course, the one that was the true mother spoke out and said, "Oh, no, don't do that. Let the child live. Let the child live. Just let this other lady have it. Let the child live." And Solomon said, "All right, take the baby and give it to this woman, the woman that said, 'Let the child live.' For she's the rightful mother because she would not want the child to die." The other lady's like, "Yeah, divide it in half. We'll take it." And so by that, Solomon began to proceed through life, and we would see that he did a lot of wise things, but Solomon did a lot of foolish things as well. And talking more than likely to his son Jeroboam trying to help his son out many times within this book he addresses, and he says, "My son, my son," and more than likely trying to tell Jeroboam, "Look, I know what I did, and I'm trying to advise you to not do the same thing. Don't look at what I did. Look at what I'm telling you, because I learned a lot of things, but it was through the school of hard knocks. It was the wrong way to learn things, but I've learned that there's a better way to go about it." And so he writes this book that we call the Proverbs. The word Proverbs just simply not only gives the title of the book, but it designates the type of literature that is within the book. And therefore, we understand that the book of Proverbs then refers to various forms of wise and insightful pronouncements. Jesus often taught within the same ways. His parables or his proverbs were parables. They were much longer, and they were wise, insightful, short stories that needed more thought to uncover the full value of the truth that was spoken. And so he would oftentimes take his disciples aside afterwards, and he would say, "Hear ye now the parable of the sower that went forth to sow." And he would explain to them what the proverb was, or the parable was. But Solomon oftentimes relies upon writing in a form that we have learned to call parallelism, in which he basically says one thing and then he parallels it with almost a contrasting opposite. And so there is one, and then the parallel is over on the other side. They would never cross their ways. The ways of the foolish, the ways of the wise would never run on a course that would cross each other. And we see that even in our text here today, which most of the entire book of Proverbs is written in that way, just a few chapters are not. But in this book, we see many times that it is, and even in our text here today, we see in Proverbs 14 and 8, he said that the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways, but the folly of fools is deceit. Two contrasting views running parallel courses that will never overtake each other or never cross one another. Verse number nine, he said that fools make a mock at sin, but the righteous there is favor. But among the righteous there is favor. Verse 11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Verse 12, he said, there is a way which seemeth right to a man. He said, but the way thereof are the ways of death. Verse 14, he said that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And then he talks about the good man shall be satisfied from himself. And then in 15, he said that the simple man believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings. And so he does contrasting views. And much of Proverbs is written in the same way, talking about the wise man, the fool and his folly, and even the strange woman. Those are the three main characters that are there. And how that they oppose each other, but not just in opposing each other, and how that the strange woman is the variable. And that the strange woman would try to lure all. And she's not going to be able to get the wise man, but she will be able to get the fool and his folly. And Solomon even write, and he would say, "I beheld out my window, for looking from the casement of it, and I saw a simple man. I saw a simple man walking down the road towards her corner, and that she would entice him to go." And in a sense, he is saying, "I could testify and I could tell you exactly how this story is going to end, and I wish that I could somehow or another intervene and tell this young man, don't go there. You don't want the fruit of that reward. And whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap, and that's not something that you want to reap." And so he is stating in his mind, from the thoughts of his mind, if you could just hear me and just do as I tell you to do, rather than as I did, you would be so much further ahead. And we know that Jeroboam, his son, would not walk in the ways of his father, would not be wise as his father would be, and would not seek the counsel of the elders, but would also seek the counsel of young men, and would refrain from the counsel of the elders and such. But nevertheless, what Solomon is telling us is that there are a different way. I preached this at the youth rally, just this first part of it, a youth rally a few weeks ago, and that there are two ways. Amen. There is the right way and there is the wrong way. There is the good way, there is the bad way. Amen. And there is a choice that is given to every one of us as to what way that we would walk therein. And so he said there is a way. Definitely, there is a way. There is no denying it. Amen. There is a way. And that way seemeth right unto a man. Very few people would you be able to question and be able to ask them and say, the way that you are heading, do you perceive that it is the wrong way? And some of them would say, you know what, I know that I'm not in the right way. And I know that I'm not doing right, but I know what is the right way. Was talking to an individual just the other day, not too long ago, and this person referred to their lifestyle and the way that they were living, and they just completely just admitted it, and they said, you know, according to the ways of the Bible, I am messed up and I am on my way to hell, and I understand that, and hopefully sometime or another I'll get my way changed and I'll get my ways right. And with that, we can say at least they understand where the direction that they're heading, that their direction is going to determine the outcome thereof. Amen. You cannot take I-35 south and hope to get to Chicago. You've got to make sure that you take the right way. And there is a way, Solomon says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. And how many could we testify, attesting to this and say of how that individuals, whether it was ministry, whether it was parents, whether it was maybe other friends that stepped in and said, you know what, you need to change your ways. Amen. Ministers, pastors that have stepped into situations and said, hey, amen, you need to listen up. The direction that you're heading is not a good direction. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you cannot tell an individual that is bent upon doing things their way. Amen. It doesn't matter how right it is, how pure it is. Amen. An individual that is set in doing it their way, amen, it's going to be hard to get their attention and to show them until they've burned themselves by touching the stove. You can tell that little child, don't touch. This is hot. Amen. But sometimes the only way that they're going to learn is they just got to stick their hand up there and they burn their fingers, they burn their hand, and now there are the repercussions, and now we have burns to deal with, and we have a broken heart, we have sorrow, we have pain, we have all of these things to deal with. Amen. But this individual, this little child, thought that they knew what was best. And so Jesus even stated that there is a way. As a matter of fact, there are two ways. In that he said in the text, enter ye in the straight gate. So there is one way, the straight and the narrow way. He said, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. There is a way that leads unto destruction. And what he is stating here is don't be deceived. Amen. Nobody, amen, is just going to wake up one day and say, look, here I am in heaven. I have no earthly idea how I got here. I believe we probably all have a sense that we never deserved it and that we weren't worthy of it. But who is? But you can't live like the devil. You can't live like the world and then just expect when that final day of judgment comes that everything is going to be fine. That's not what the Bible says. And that's what I've come to talk about here today. Amen. That the ways of man is a crooked path. Job said, man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Amen. That is just the way of an individual. Amen. In the book of Let me see. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, Paul stated, and he said that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Amen. There's the carnal man and the spiritual man. And the carnal man is going, that's the natural man. And the Bible says here that he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He's just bent. He's in that crooked way that he's just going to do things his own way in his own timing and just be his own man. I could take the time and I could tell you of examples that have done exactly that. They've lived their own way. There's nobody that could talk to them. Grandma couldn't talk to them. Mom couldn't talk to them. Dad couldn't talk to them. Ministry couldn't talk to them. Good friends couldn't talk to them. They were bent in that crooked way, and they receive not the ways and the things of the Spirit. And then there are those that perceive that they are heading in the right direction, but yet they are deceived by some type of delusion. And part of the delusion simply is, and it is truth, but part of the delusion is that the enemy knows how to mingle error with the truth. And therefore, you've got so many doctrines that are in so many religions that are out there in this world. And somebody could ask and would ask and say, well, why is there so many religions in the world? And why is this church down here? Why do they think that they're right? Why do they think that they're right? And why does this one over here think that they're right? And this one over here is more right than this one. And so now who's right and who's wrong? And the bottom line is it doesn't really matter, or it does matter who is right. Amen. But I can tell you that the Bible is right. The Bible is right. Amen. The Bible is the roadmap to heaven, and if we plan on going to heaven, we got to get in the Bible. And so error comes in, and error says, well, I know that the Bible says this right here, but that's not what it means. Well, if that's not what it means, then why did God have it put into the Bible? To sow confusion? Well, then the Bible teaches us that God is not the author of confusion. And so why would Scripture, the thing that is to get us to heaven, why would it sow confusion? Amen. And so you've got to ask yourself these things. And we've got to get beyond this parameter of, well, I know what the Bible says, but I know how I feel. I know what the Bible says, but I know what I've been taught somewhere else. Amen. I just put it to you this way. It doesn't really matter what I was taught in the past somehow. And I'm thankful, amen, for the way that I was raised. Amen. But I am going to tell you what matters is what is in the Bible. If my parents were to choose to go a different way, I would have to stay with the Bible. If all of my friends said, we're not going that away, we're going our own ways, I would have to stay with God's ways. If my wife and my children said, we're through with this way, and we're going a different way, I would have to stay with God's way. Amen. And some people can consider that hard and harsh. But friend, what really matters is, in the end, are you going to be saved? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. I want to make sure I'm on the right way. I want to make sure that when I get to my final destination, that I don't wind up at that wide gate that leadeth unto destruction and regret and resent, amen, everything that is in my past. I want to walk up to those pearly gates on the straight and narrow way, amen, and hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be faithful on the path. I want to walk in the ways of righteousness. I want to hear the word of God. Amen, amen. We can see that a spirit of the end time that is predominant even in our day and age. We hear and we see the Lord addressing it unto the seven churches that were in Asia. Every one of them, he spoke unto them and he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say to the church. And then he addressed it unto the church of Ephesus. Write these things. In other words, I've got something that I need to say to Ephesus.
unto the church in Philadelphia, write these things. I got something I need to talk to in Philadelphia. Unto the church in Thyatira, write these things. I still got something to talk about there. Unto the church in Laodicea, write these things. I've got something to say to them. I wonder what the Spirit is trying to say to the church of 20 and 22. And maybe it would be the church of the United States of America. And maybe it would be the church of the entire world. Amen. But I, as a part of the church, I want to have my ears open. And I want to be attuned. Amen. When he spoke unto those churches, he wasn't writing anything new. He wasn't telling them things that had not already been addressed. He was reminding them of things that they had done. He let them know, I have seen your works. Amen. I have seen the things that you have done. Oh, that God would look down upon us as individuals and as churches and say, I know your works. I have seen what you have done. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on preaching truth. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world says. It doesn't matter what all the other churches and all the other religions do. Amen. It matters that you get in the book and stay in the book. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You be seated. Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know the way of a man, and it is not in himself. It is not of man that walketh to direct his step, to direct his steps. You can take a 2-year-old child and you can hold them by the hand. And as long as you're holding them by the hand, you can pretty much get them wherever they need to go. And there are going to be times they're going to resist and they're going to pull away and they're going to want to take that hand from you. But you know what's best. And that is, as long as we're in this crosswalk, buddy, you got to hold my hand. Because if I let your hand go, you're going to run out there into traffic like a madman, and it's not going to end well. And that's the way that it is with God. As long as we hold to the unchanging hand of God, we're going to be okay. Oh, but there are times that this old flesh wants to try to pull away and do our own thing. And the Lord is saying, look, this is a straight and a narrow path. And the book of Proverbs said, he that breaketh the hedge, the serpent shall bite. And the Lord is saying, I know what's out there. I know what's off to the right. I know what's off to the left. I know there's destruction. I know there's temptation. But if you'll walk right here beside me, I'll keep you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. And I'll get you safely to the other side. But you give man his hand, it's just like those old horses. For several years, I had my share of breaking horses. And I almost took a job full time back when I was 18, breaking horses for a living. And let's just put it this way. I got just enough of it to know it's not what I wanted to do for a living. And this was back before, I don't know if it was back before the horse whisperer, but it was before the horse whisperer was popular. And this is just the time that you just climb on and hang on. And he that endureth to the end, same hopefully will be okay. And I've had them try to rake me off under low eaves and stuff. I've had them flip over on top of me. I've had them jump up and sunfish on me. And it's been some wild, wild rides. But you know what? This one horse I climbed on, I guess I was 18 years of age. And this horse was mad, mad, mad. And I went out there. I talked to the owner, and the owner said, "Hey, I've got this 4-year-old, and she's just been out in the pasture for numerous years and stuff. She ain't been ridden since she was, I guess, right at 2 years old and stuff. You know, if you can handle her and you can take, you know, I'd like to see you do something with her." I said, "All right, I'll come on out. We'll check her out." And so I went out there and checked the horse out, and she was all horse. And he made her mad. I mean, he just bent. That's the crooked way. He was bent on making her mad. And I mean, she had her nostrils flared, and she was sucking in air, and she was snorting and blowing hard, and finally he made her mad enough. She reared up just like the Long Ranger's horse, and she reared up and she pawed the air, and he pulled her back down. And when he pulled her back down, he hit her in the head. And I'm thinking, I ought to hit you.
And she's sitting there, and every muscle in her body is just trembling and jerking. And so, we finally got her saddled up and stuff. I said, all right. I said, I'm going to get on, but you hold her until I say turn loose. And then when I say turn loose, everything's good. Like, okay. So I got on her, and I pulled in her because you got to control their head. Got to control their head. And so I reined up on her head, and I had her, and I said, all right, let her go. And so he let her go. Boom, she split out there, and she took off running. And she probably was the fastest horse I've ever been on. And she was showing me everything that she had. But I knew what was coming. And so I still got control. And so we got out there in the middle of the field, and sure enough, she tried to throw her head down, and she went to buck and stuff like that. And I was set perfect, and I had her head up, and she turned, and she couldn't get her head and stuff, so she spun around about 3 times and poof, took back off again. And that went on for several times and stuff. But I knew if I ever let this horse have her head, I'm done. I am finished. I know the Lord said it is finished. I was fixing to say I am finished. Because I was going to go sailing to the moon. And she was bent on trying to do that. She had a mind. She had a desire. This is what we're going to do. You're coming off. And I said, no, as long as I've got your head and under control and stuff, I'm going to keep control. I'm going to stay in the driver's seat up here. And so I did. I stayed in the driver. But you know what? That is the way that man is. We are all bent on our own ways. And it doesn't take much. Just takes a little. Harebrained. You've heard that saying before. Just a little harebrained idea, and all of a sudden, what did you do? Well, I mean, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Because you got to understand, there is an enemy that is bent on trying to deceive you, to destroy you, to make you mess up to the point that you feel like you can't come back. That's his job. The Bible said, your adversary, he's not your friend. He's not your counselor. He's not going to advise you in the best way. But he's going to make the enticement of sin look so good and so great. And he's going to tell you that the end of the story is going to be so wonderful. But when you get to the end of your decision, you're left, amen, like the Bible said concerning Laodicea, amen, naked, and you have need of everything. And then all you have is just regrets. All you have is condemnation all over you. And you cannot walk with your head held high. You try. We all do. You know why? Because it's not in man, amen, to admit failures. And it's not in man to hold his head down. Every man wants to be proud of what they've done. My little niece, she was so bent. She was so bent on everything that her temper, she would pitch fits all because of just one little thing. And she would tell Mama, and she would say, Mama's raising her. And she would say, Mama, are you proud of me? Are you proud of me? Mama, are you proud of me? And we'd have to say, you know what, we're not proud. And she would get so mad, and she would pitch. But you know what, it's not our fault. We didn't make the decision that you just made. We didn't do it that way. And she would throw herself on the floor, and she would be so mad, and she would cry, and she'd come back up, tears, oh, you're proud of me. You know what? You still haven't done anything to make us proud of you. And understand, I'm using this and I'm stretching it to, amen, because I understand that this is a little child and that we're going to help this child. But you know what? You can't be proud of something that's not done right. And I know a child, we're not asking for perfection, and don't take it that away. I'm using this as an illustration. Amen. But that is the way. And the enemy is going to do everything that he can, amen, to get you to be torn down. The Bible said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Your best interest is not in his mind. Amen. He does not have your best interest at heart. Amen. There's only one thing that he desires to do, and that's to see you laying in a coffin somewhere.
amen, with life expired out of you and say, I won. Amen. While you're still on that bent and that crooked way of doing it your way, going where you want to go, doing what you want to do, saying what you want to say. Amen. But the Lord is merciful and kind, and the Lord beckons us back unto Him and says, come and follow me. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I will give you rest. But what does man do? Man says, well, you know what? I'm just going to trust my heart. I just know what I feel. That's dangerous. That's extremely dangerous. And no. That's my gut feeling. I've got to go with that. I'm just going to go with my heart here on this. The Bible said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's what the Bible teaches us. You can't trust your heart. The Bible said that the heart is deceitful above all things. Above that two-year-old that's trying to get a cookie. The heart is deceitful above all things. And then the Bible calls it this: the heart is desperately wicked. Yeah, that's the heart. But nobody wants to believe that. Oh, no, not my heart. Not my heart. Jesus said, out of the issues of the heart, from the abundance of the heart. And then all of these issues come from the heart. Adultery, fornication, lying, it all comes from the heart. Nobody wants to talk about that. Oh, no, I'm different. No, and that's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. Enemy wants to say, you know what? You're top stuff. I can't get you. Chances are he probably already has you. Because that's where we are. We just begin to think, well, I'm just going to believe it my way. I'm going to believe it my way. I'm going to do things my way. And it gets us into trouble. It does. Can we talk about it a little bit here this morning? That's why there are denominations out there that have basically taken an eraser and erased baptism out of the Bible. They don't believe in baptism anymore. Oh, we don't have to baptize people. It's no big deal. Baptism is just an outward confession of an inward expression. That's what they say. That's their doctrine. Baptism is just an outward expression of an inward confession. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Peter 3:20 and 21 says that baptism doth also now save us. We've got to be baptized. We can't just take this out of the Bible because we just don't feel it's necessary anymore. That's the bent way. That's the crooked way. And we're coming out of the crooked way to get on the straight way. They say, well, you know what? All you got to do is believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized. Paul asked John the Baptist's disciples, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Peter told the jailer's house, he said, you have need of baptize since you have believed. But then there's people that says, well, you know what? When you believe, you know, there's the once saved, always saved doctrine, you know, and once you're saved, you're always saved. So you can just do whatever you want to do. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus, in the prophecy concerning his birth, said that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not you get to continue in your sins, but you're saved from your sins. You don't say. When Jesus was baptized, as our example, the Bible said that he came up out of the water and he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent is not just simply saying, I'm sorry for what I did last night. See you next week because I'm going to be sorry again. That's not repentance. Repentance is turning around and not doing it any longer. Repentance is walking away from it. and not staying in it. That's what repentance is. But that's not what the world wants to hear. The world wants to hear, leave me alone. I'm going to do it my way. I don't believe I have to do it that way. How many people have I heard say that exact same thing? Brother Wirtz, you've heard them say the same thing within just, whether it's a short time or a long time, time proves all things, and they come back around and they've got broken pieces and they're asking you to help them put it all back together. And what they're really saying is, I tried it my way and it didn't work. And I tried it again and it didn't work. And I tried it again and it didn't work. And now all I have is broken pieces. The prophet said, all that was left was two legs and a piece of an ear. Not enough to make a lamb. I'm just simply saying that man has this way that we think to ourselves, you know what, I'm just going to do it my way. I'm just going to live my way. I'm just going to be my guy. I'm going to be my own individual. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to do things my way. And we all have that prerogative. We all have that choice. You can do it your way. But your way will lead to a destination. And the destination is heaven or hell. If there's no heaven, if there's no hell, then why do we have church? If there's no heaven and no hell, then there must be no God and no devil. But we're here today because we do believe in good and evil. And there is a God and there is an adversary. There is a right way, there is a wrong way. There is heaven, there is hell. These destinations are true as we stand here this morning. Jesus came and he told them, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was the way. And then on the day of Pentecost, we see a bunch of people doing things their way. But Peter came and he began to preach to them. And in preaching to them, he basically told them, look, you're in a crooked way. You're in a messed up way. Because he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, you thought that was the right way. The same Jesus, both Lord and Christ. And the Bible said that when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Why? Because they understood we've messed up. We thought it was right. We thought we were doing the right thing. And we see that we're messed up. We've done the wrong thing. And now how can we go back? How can we change the error of choice? How can we get off of this crooked path? Is there any hope for us? And that's what they did. They cried out to Peter and to the rest of the disciples, the apostles. They said, is there any hope for us? They said, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, you're going to have to repent of your ways. You're going to have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself. In other words, you're going to have to admit, you're going to have to say, you know what? I need to make sure I'm on the right way. Some of you here today, you know you're traveling on the wrong path. And I'm just encouraging you to change your ways before your destination comes. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but it's time to get off of the crooked path and to get on the straight way. Amen. Why don't you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins?
Why don't you ask God to wash you and to cleanse you? Come on, it's time. It's time. It's time to change your ways. It's time to change your paths. It's time to change decisions. It's time to change things in your life before there's too many regrets. You said, well, a certain amount of regrets. No, no. Just with every regret comes a little more condemnation. A little more condemnation. A little more condemnation. Every choice has an action. And you must understand that the devil is trying to lead you further and further and further into that world of sin, because he's just set to destroy you. And so I invite you to this altar here today. Amen. Would you come? Hallelujah. Can we pray here this morning? Oh, let's ask the Lord to help us today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church, help us pray here this morning in Jesus' name.